Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of Joshua, chapter 18. Amen. Joshua, chapter 18. I told some of them last night, I'll go ahead and tell you, by this time next week, you'll have a new pastor. I'm officially changing my name this week to I Am Lucky. Hello? Some of y'all going, oh man, we thought we were getting somebody. Glory. I saw a look on some faces. I may all take a vote. Glory. Amen. But, you know, with everything's been going on, I just think God did change my name to I Am Lucky. Glory. Isn't that what they call the dog? They said, with dog lost, back leg gone, front paw missing, ear gone, answers to the name of Lucky. Glory. That's basically the way I've been feeling lately. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Joshua chapter 18. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together in Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of the congregation there, and the land was subdued before them. And there remained among the children of Israel 7 tribes that had not yet received their inheritance. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, how long are ye slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers hath given you? Give out from among you 3 men for each tribe, and I will send them, and they shall rise and go through the land and describe it according to the inheritance of them, and they shall come again to me. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to us and make us, God, to sit in heavenly places with you. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look them right in the eye and say, hey, what are you waiting for? Amen. Waiting for. The children of Israel finally begin to possess the inheritance. Y'all may understand, some of you may have missed the story, so I'll go back. They've been brought out of Egyptian bondage. 400 years they're there. They pray and seek the face of God. Finally, God sends a kindred redeemer named Moses, and he gets the people free. God sets them free, and they come out. Amen. They take a 40-year walk in the wilderness. Amen. I never forget one time back years ago, they were interviewing the Prime Minister of Israel, and I'm going to date myself because it was Golda Meir, and most of these kids never knew that lady who led Israel to its prominence in the world. Amen. And they were talking with the president, and the president said, boy, most Jews are smart. She said, no, we're not really that smart. And he said, oh, yeah, most Jews are smart. She said, then explain to me why it took us 40 years to take a 2-week walk. And she said, then when we finally stopped, we stopped, and the only place over there ain't got a drop of oil under it nowhere. Glory. Amen. But now notice something. After 40 years of in the wilderness, they finally are told by God, you now can go and possess the land that I have promised you. And now they're ready. They cross the river Jordan, and they're there. And suddenly there comes a time when there's 7 tribes of the children of Israel out of the 12 that still has not gone and gotten their inheritance. Amen. And all of a sudden Joshua goes and said, how long are you going to be slack? You're sitting around here waiting like you want some of us to help you get it. And you know, I wonder if we don't have that same problem in the church world today. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, you know, we got a lot of people in the church who for some reason never really possessed the power and anointing of God that they ought to have in their life. I mean, we got folks, if you talk to them, they believe they ought to be living up here somewhere. Amen. And for some reason, they keep hitting the side of the mountain and being happy with it. Hello? And we become accustomed to this, and because of that, we begin to wonder if we're ever really going to make it to the top of that mountain. Amen. We have to recognize the Bible says that they had not received their inheritance. What actually means is that they had failed to drive out the enemy. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? It was evident the fact that their land was promised to them by God was inhabited by people who opposed the right of them to own the land. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Today we have people that needs to understand to possess the blessings God has promised you, you've got to drive out the enemy who is trying to keep you from the very promises of God. Who is that enemy? I see where Daniel was praying and the angel tapped him on the shoulder and said, from the first time you bowed your knee, God heard your prayer. But the prince of Persia, who we know to be Satan himself, has been trying to hinder that God God was sending, but this morning God said enough is enough, and he sent forth a host of angels, and your answer is on the way. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Because of the spiritual warfare Daniel was fighting, he was able to win a battle and see the power and the blessings of God move in his life. And I'm saying to you today, too many of us are not possessing the very promises God's word has for us, and it's time some of us made up our mind, enough is enough. I still believe that God is the same God he's always been, has the same power he's always had, can still do what he said he could do, and it's time we get back to the place where we really believe my God is able to do exceedingly abundantly and above all we would ever ask or think. Could you say amen? Amen. To possess their inheritance meant they had to dispose or depose the enemy. Amen. The land belonged to the children of Israel by the right of inheritance, by promise, but it was occupied by dominating enemies. Church, there are enemies to everything God wants to do in your life. To win the battle, you got to overcome them. The Bible said to them that overcometh, amen, they inherit the earth. Amen. See, preacher, what are you talking about? When we overcome the enemy that's against us, we walk in presence, we walk in power, we walk in glory. Hello? Amen. So I said, oh no, he's going to start telling us about how we can be rich. I'm not one of those. But I believe we can have more things going on in our life. And I know one of y'all's going to walk up after church and you're going to point at my leg and say, look at you, preacher, telling me I can get healed. What happens in my life doesn't affect that word, and that's where some of us need to grow up and realize what God's word says doesn't change because it doesn't affect my life. Could you say amen? I told you the other day, I believe there's purpose in everything. I ain't figured it out yet, and I may not know till I get to heaven, but for some way, somehow, God is going to show me why I ended up with my leg in a crutch. Amen. I had somebody ask me the other day, said, hey, man, you're doing good. When will you be walking again? I said, I'm walking now. I won't be walking right for a while. Amen. And every time I go to physical therapy, I notice how far behind I really am. I'm doing good till they tell me I got to bend that thing. And for some reason, when that girl goes to bending, I had to give her a real word of knowledge the other day. I'd already told her if I was quoting scripture, she'd know I was in pain, and I done quoted several, made up a couple. Glory. And she was pushing on that leg, and I said, I need to remind you that the nerve system that's in that knee connects to that other foot. Glory. She said, I think we've done enough today. Glory. Amen. But if we clearly understand what's going on, we understand Joshua's stern question to them. You could even say rebuke for not moving on into the land. Listen, in the book of Joshua, chapter verse 3, it says, how long are you slack to go possess the land the Lord God of your fathers hath given you? In the Better Bible translation, it gives you another translation. It says, why are you so slow to go and take up the heritage of the land which the Lord your God, your fathers, hath given you? In the English Standard Version said, so Joshua said to the people of Israel, how long will you put off going in to take possession of the land the Lord your God and your fathers hath given you? Point is, he's telling them the land has been given to them by God. Point two, it was their responsibility to do whatever they had to do to take possession of the land. Joshua's asking them, how long are you going to sit back and hang loose and just let the enemy keep possessing land God wants you to have? Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? There are many similarities between the Old Testament story and the New Testament experience. Number one, by inheritance, the land belonged to them. They were Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Number two, they must forcibly take possession experientially of what is theirs legally. There was also slack in taking possession of what was theirs. We find the same scenario in the church world today. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? The word of God is rich in God's promises toward his children. We are also, by faith, the seed of Abraham. Hello? Next time y'all make a verdict to the Jew, realize if you're a Christian, you are one. Hello? Amen. Listen, Galatians 3:13.
Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made the curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. But that the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentile through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. What's he saying? He said, we didn't have no right to the covenant till Jesus Christ died on the cross, but in his death, we have now become heirs and joint heirs with those that are in the covenant. Amen. And you know what? I hear the word of God telling me, hey, I have not received the spirit of bondage. I am not a slave bound down, but I've received the spirit of adoption whereby I cry, my Father, which art in heaven. And because of that, I become partakers of the covenant of Abraham, which means I got a right now to be called the child of God through Jesus Christ. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Galatians 3:29. And if ye be Christ's, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Hello? Amen. But it was then, even it is today, the enemies who possess the inheritance are trying to keep us from getting it. But listen to what is said in Matthew. Jesus made this statement. And from the days of John the Baptist, 12th verse, 11th chapter, until now the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. And you just walk in and say, well, I want what's mine. Or you stand there and say, I'm really not worthy. You ever seen people try and be so humble that they become kind of arrogant about it? It's like it's their badge. I'm timid. I'm not worthy. I had a guy tell me that day. I said, you're not worthy? He said, no. I said, then you ain't saved. He said, what are you talking about? I said, anybody saved worthy? Because the price has done been paid for you to have everything that Bible says you can have. Come on, church. Now, you don't start grabbing stuff God ain't promised you, but if God's got it in his book, you got a right to have it. Now, notice what he said. From the preaching of John, the kingdom of God suffereth violent, and the violent take it by force. You know what that means? That means I don't sit around and wait for it to get here. I go to war and get it. I battle the enemy for it. I don't sit back and hope it's going to come, but I get on my knees, and I put my face in a book of the word of God, and I dig in, and I fight with everything I got, saying, wait a minute. I want what God's word has for me, and I claim it according to the word of God, and I believe that in him I move, in him I live, and in him I have my being. Could you say amen? Woo. Glory. One of the reasons many of God's people are cheated out of their inheritance is because they do not know what belongs to them. They're unfamiliar with the will. Glory. If you have a loved one die, they're going to have a reading of the will. If you think you got something in that will, you're going to show up to hear it. Amen. My granddad passed away, 97 years old, a saint of God, been saved since he was 12, filled with the Holy Ghost. I mean, he was a trip. I used to love having him show up to revival, but he done weird stuff. Like one time at Alabama City, he run up to the pastor. He said, you know, my grandson preached that same sermon last week. He looked at me and said, he must have gotten my notes. He said, his was better. I got a phone call that afternoon from that pastor. He's going, hey, you need to tell your papa. He can tell me stuff like that, but not in front of everybody. Glory. Amen. Amen. But I never forget when he died, he had his will. They got everybody to the lawyer's office, and they was all sitting around. Of course, most of them done divvied up what they could steal. Notice how I said that. If it ain't in the will and it ain't already said it's yours, you went and got it. That's not because you were given it. It was a possession belonged to somebody else. And oh, come on, some of y'all looking at me, oh, I did that. I'm sorry. But I mean, they had silverware. They had an old oak table. Two of my cousins was fussing over it. And I said, hey, let's just cut it in half. Y'all can put it on the wall and y'all can have half and she can have half. Oh, no. But they were out there arguing over what they're going to get, and we got there, and the lawyer gets ready to read the will, and they're all sitting there just waiting to see what's going to happen. And all of a sudden, I'm sitting over in the corner, and the lawyer said, by the way, Ken, is it okay if I tell them you've already got what your granddad wanted to give you? I said, sure. He did that on purpose out loud because it was actually written in the top of the will that I'd already received my inheritance. My granddaddy did it on purpose. His exact words to me before he died was, I'm giving you the opportunity of your lifetime. You'll find it out at the lawyer's office. The opportunity was all those cousins sitting there that never heard me preach. Because when he looked at me, he says, I can go ahead and tell them. Here was their next words. You make him tell us what he got. Because they thought I'd done went over and cleaned the house out of something they wanted. Church, I didn't get a thing from my pawpaw you could put your hand on. But I turned around and I said, you know, y'all lived here in town with him. Could have been over to his house every day. He could have been spending time with y'all. But most of y'all never came to see him. But I said, I didn't even live here. But when I come through town, I'd come by to see him, and I'd take him with me to revivals. And I spent nights in his house, and I said, let me tell you what he gave me. He got me down beside the couch and taught me how to pray, taught me how to seek the face of God. He instilled in me a desire to love God with all my heart, mind, soul, and spirit that every one of y'all could have had. And you know, before I got through, they were going, oh, well, we didn't get none of that. Glory. Amen. But I remember going to his house to spend the night, and he'd wake me up, leaning over the couch, praying for me. And I'd get off the couch, and we'd pray the rest of the night, seeing God move. Amen. I also remember one night he had me praying on the porch. That was a night I knocked on the door, and he opened the door and stuck a gun on my head. I was like, oh, Papa, it's me. He said, oh, excuse me, boy. Amen. Y'all didn't have a granddaddy like that, did you? Amen. This was just a few weeks after a guy tried to rob him, and he shot the headlights out of the car next door. When he reached down, instead of getting his billfold, he got his gun, set up in the car, and said, bam, 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 and just blowed the lights out of the car across from him. Police caught the guy because he was running out of the parking lot, heard the gun go off, and fell on his face on the parking lot thinking he was going to get killed. And one of the men from the store ran out there and stopped him, and the cops got there, and he said, that old man's crazy. All I wanted was his billfold. Hello? He was my pawpaw. I inherited some things from him. Glory. Proverbs chapter 5, I've quoted this, and I may keep going back to it because it's very important that we hear this. Listen to what the wisest man ever lived wrote. He said, and how they say, I have hated instruction and my heart despised reproof. You know what he said? I didn't want to listen to those people telling me the truth. Because I got my own ideas. If your own ideas are not what's in this book, your own ideas are wrong. I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor have I inclined my ears to them that instructed me. And listen to what happened to them. For I am almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and the assembly. You know what it said? It said, I'm sitting in church. I'm broke. I'm busted. I'm disgusted. Nothing goes right. Everything goes wrong. I don't have any joy. I don't have any peace. I don't have any power. I don't seem to be able to get past this. I live in depression. I eat all kind of pills to try to keep from going crazy. I think of suicide every other day. Can you understand what I'm trying to tell you? The wisest man said, you're there because you do not heed the word of God, and you do not know the will of God for your life, and this is God's will for your life. It is his word. Could you say amen? Hosea chapter 4 and verse 5, therefore thou shalt fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because they have rejected knowledge, I will also reject them. And they shall be no more priests to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. And I will also forget thy children. And they are increased, so they have sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. For they eat up the sin of my people, and they set their heart to do iniquity. And there shall be like people, like priests, and I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their doings. For they shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom. They shall increase because they have left off to take heed of the Lord. Did you hear what he said? They quit listening to the book. They quit trying to live by the book. So therefore I'm going to let them keep going, but I will punish them. Notice what he said. If you ever have people like this, they eat but they never get full. They work but they never have enough money. No matter what happens to them, they're not getting that way. You know what God's word said? He said, it's because you have forgotten me and you've forgotten my word. And can I tell you today, we're living in a world of people who no longer want this book or what God's got for them. But if we're going to possess the possessions that God wants us to have, we've got to get a hold of the wheel, take control of what God's doing in our life, and realize I can walk in power and I can walk in anointing and I can overcome the enemy. Could you say amen? Another reason is we're just plain slack, slothful, and lazy. Some people won't live right for fear they're going to get in a fight. Hello? I guess one of my most favorite sermons, and I've got to find that tape, get it on a CD so I can listen to it. It's a sermon called Watch Them Dogs. It's a black preacher in Atlanta, Georgia, preaching. And he talks about the old pot hound. Any of y'all country enough know what a pot hound is? It's a hound with a pot belly. Won't do nothing. You know, it's kind of like the old dog the hillbillies had. He never moved. They just lay on the ground, wait for you to throw a biscuit by them, they'll look at it. They're not even going to get up and go get the biscuit. They'll lay there, lick the ground, hoping it'll pull the biscuit to them. I've seen people like that. They won't do nothing for fear they'll do something. And we've got people, I actually had a guy tell me one time, said, I'm not going to get close to God. The devil will get all over me. Well, he's already got you. Glory. Hello? Many Christians would rather live low, live mediocrity, and preserve life and do without the rights and privileges of the son and the daughters of God than to engage the enemy in spiritual warfare. And so instead of admitting that they can't do it on their own and get willing to fight with God on their side, they just come up with the idea that it must not be for this world. Then they get out the gospel blues. They go to playing them gospel songs. On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a willful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. Hello? That's unscriptural. We like those songs. Lord, build me a cabin in the corner of glory land. Why do we want a cabin? Because we don't think we can pay the price for the mansion. I got news for you. The mansion's already paid. I mean, it's already there waiting on you to go. The only price you got to pay is to give it up to God. Amen. But then people wanting a cabin, ain't going to be long. We got somebody come out with pup tents on the outside of glory. Glory. Amen. Come on, church. Amen. They'll get there and get to play them songs. Ain't going to be no tears in heaven. They're going, one of these days, one of these days. I got news for you, honey. You can live a life where when everything's going wrong, you can still have joy down here. Come on, church. Amen. Praise God. Why? Because you understand, I may not know what's going on, but whatever it is, God's up to something, and I'm going to let it go. Come on, church. Whew. I never understood this, and this is just something I'm going to throw out at you. It won't cost you nothing. It ain't in my notes, but it ain't 12 yet, so I can preach. Glory. Thank God for an evangelist with a little long-winded. That way y'all get used to letting me preach. Glory. I may bring him back. Glory. But in a church, have you ever noticed this? Every time something goes wrong, we real quick talk about, well, the devil did that, because that's spiritual. You ever seen somebody get up to sing? They ain't practiced the song, ain't sung it in 6 months. They forget the words. Well, the devil made me forget the words. It ain't that you ain't practiced and studied, and that's why you forgot the words. It had to have been the devil, because, you know, it couldn't be you. Hello? Some of y'all squeeching up, some saying, oh, me, and others going, I can't believe you go up and said that. If you did that lately, I didn't mean to nail you, but think about it. I used to have a guy want to travel with me. Every night he'd come up there with his cassettes, and he'd set like five or six of them down and say, I don't know which one I'm going to sing. I'm waiting on God to show me. And I'm going, huh? What you been doing all day? Why ain't you been asking God what you need to sing so you can get it right? Come on, church. Let me say something else. Well, I've been praying about what I'm going to preach about, but I'm going to let God fill my mouth. You know what I do to a person like that? I've closed my Bible and sat there going, this is going to be boring. See, I done made some of you mad because y'all thought that's spiritual. No, spiritual is to believe a God who knows all things, who could tell me ahead of time so I can prepare to do good with it and fulfill scripture that said a workman needeth not be ashamed of what he's doing. Come on, church.
Well, preacher, what if somebody shows up? Are you telling me God don't know who was going to be here this morning before we ever thought about coming? Hello? And could God not give me a message that would touch everybody here in time for me to prepare that message and be ready to preach it to you so I wouldn't have to walk up here and be ashamed of what I'm going to say and preach the same sermon 5 times with a different title? Come on, church, smile at me. Some of y'all say, okay, well, that ain't spiritual. That's biblical. I mean, I understand we got some things we think are spiritual, but the point I'm trying to make is if we're so quick to blame the devil, why couldn't we start giving God credit for some things every once in a while and just every time something goes wrong, say, hey, God's up to something. I don't know what it is. Come on, church. I was at church one night, and the sound system kept squealing, carrying on. This woman stood up. She said, well, the devil's in the sound system. Of course, I realized their motivation. It was her son-in-law. Glory. Hello? Every time something goes wrong in the church, it ain't the devil. Sometimes it's just human error. But at the same time, if we'll start looking, maybe God finds a way to smooth it out. And maybe if we started doing that, we wouldn't spend so much time worried about what the devil's going to do. I don't know about y'all, but I've had enough of the devil pulling my string and telling me, you're going to do this and you're going to do that. I think it's time we start getting so close to God that the devil starts worrying about what we're up to and begins to try to figure out God's plan in our life because he understands they're moving in him. Could you say amen? I want to get so close to God, the demons don't keep me awake. They're over rocking the bed. Because they realize as long as I'm asleep, they can't got to worry about me. But when I'm awake, they don't know what I'm going to do next. Glory. Hello? Some of y'all know me. I'm that kind of person. Most of you with me trying to figure out what I'm going to do next. I want the devil going, oh, man, keep him asleep. Don't bother him. That dude's liable to do something stupid like win a soul if we get him out of bed. Glory. Amen. So next time you can't sleep at night, realize you can reverse that trend by praying hard. Glory. Glory. That's just good preaching. Amen. Many Christians would rather just live low, mediocre lives because they don't want the privileges God's got for them. So instead of admitting that they don't have it because they're not willing to get it, they got to come up with some other way to get it. Listen, the promises of God in the promised land of the Old Testament is not a typology of heaven. The promised land they went into, I have people tell me, oh, one of these days I'm going to cross old Chili Jordan into heaven. I agree, we sing that song. But I really don't think Jordan River runs through heaven. Last time I saw it, it was running out of the Sea of Galilee into the Dead Sea, and there's no outlet, so it ain't going no farther. Hello? I admit it's cold. Even in Israel, that water's cold. Hello? I've baptized in it. I've been baptized in it. It's cold, but it's also filthy. Hello? Jews won't get in it. They'll pull it out and water their crops with it. They'll rent you a little cape to put over your clothes to get baptized in. They'll let you use their showers, take a bath, and you get through. For a certain price. But they won't get down there and get in the water with you. Because Jordan means flowing down. Filthy. Don't even drink the water. I had a guy tell me, ain't nothing wrong with that water. So the next night I brought him something back. Had a little bottle. I said, hey, drink this. He said, what are you talking about? I said, that's water out of the Jordan River. I said, go ahead and drink it. Show me it ain't nothing wrong with it. He said, brother, has it been tested? I said, I thought you said it wasn't dirty. He said, well, drink it. Show me nothing wrong with it. I said, and if that works good, I got some water out of the Dead Sea. You can drink it too. Glory. I still got that water. I took it and poured it back in my bottle. Glory. Amen. Somebody said, well, preacher, what are you getting at? We've got to get to that place where we understand that the promises of God, amen, that the Old Testament is actually trying to tell us what's going on in the New Testament and what we can inherit, not by just crossing the Jordan River, but becoming children and followers of Christ. It is not something we're going to possess when we get into the future. Could you say amen? Listen, stay with me. I finished this sermon. I have another one for tonight. Glory.
2 Corinthians 1:19, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God are in him yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which established us with you in Christ and hath anointed us in God, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of his spirit and heart. What's he saying? My inheritance is not something I'm going to possess in the future, but when I become the power and the grace of God through the loving Son, Jesus Christ, I now am a child of God, and I've got a right to every promise God's ever put in his word for his children. Could you say amen to that, church? The devil's greatest fear is that we're going to figure out what the word of God's been trying to tell us all along, and the next thing you know, we're fighting a battle armed to the teeth, ready to do battle, instead of running out trying to fight without our armor on. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Amen. I remember going to hear a sermon one time. I went to hear it on purpose. Amen. I had heard about the sermon. This sermon was so great, David Wilkerson called the evangelist and said, I want you to come and preach at Times Square Church, but this is the sermon you're going to preach. Somebody said, well, that's not God. Who says the pastor can't request a sermon he's heard somebody preach and my people needs to hear it? The sermon was called Hell's Greatest Secret. That man preached about learning the power of God to be an overcomer. And church, the devil would hate for the people of God to understand where they are, what kind of power they actually have, because as long as he can stand there and squall at you and make you afraid, he's got you down. Come on, church. As long as he can have you believing the devil's been all over you and you don't have enough power of God to kick him off and get the saddle off your back where you quit riding, he loves it. But when you understand you don't have to be ridden by Satan and you don't have to take it, but my Bible said resist the devil and what's going to happen, he will flee from you. So the next time he shows up at your house, just let him know, I am not edible. You don't have a right here anymore. The power of God has set me free, and in him I'm going to overcome you. Could you say amen? I saw a picture the other day. I was looking through a Bible in the office. I used to have a picture carried with me all the time. I still got it in that Bible. But it's a little dude sitting there, and he's bald-headed, got his hands in his pocket. He's standing there, and he's got this demon in front of him with a slingshot. And the dude's sitting there, and he's looking at that demon going, go ahead, make my day. Standing behind him is this giant angel with a bazooka pointed at the demon. Hello? Listen, church, I don't need money when I get to heaven. I just get some pavement and I'll be in good shape. Glory. Oh, some of y'all missed that. Y'all go, what's he talking about? Glory. Some of y'all be like the dude was told he could take anything you wanted to heaven. God said, okay, you can take something with you. He got 3 suitcases full of gold and carried it with him. Got to the gate and the angels fixed to let him in. He said, hey, what you got in the suitcase? And he opened it up and he said, why'd you bring pavement? Huh? Some of y'all still ain't got it. Amen. I don't need healing when I get to heaven. There ain't going to be no pain. My legs will be back. I'll be playing basketball and dunking on 20-foot goals. Glory. Amen. I ain't got to have healing when I get to heaven. I don't need the power to overcome the devil when I get to heaven because he ain't going to be there. You say, well, preacher, what are you talking about? Why would God give me something I can't have till I get to heaven if I don't need it when I get there? He has given it to me to use in this world to be an overcomer by his divine power. And it's time we as individuals and as a corporate church stand up, look the devil in the eye and say, no more. I'm not waiting any longer. Enough is enough. I'm coming out into the power and the grace and the glory of Almighty God. Listen, Joshua 18:4, and I had it wrong on it. I had 1:4. Give out among you 3 men of each tribe. Send them, and they shall rise and go through the land to describe it according to the inheritance of them that are there. Now, what's he saying? He said, I want you to pick out 3 guys from each one of your places. Go look this place over. Map it out. Take an inventory of what's there. And come back and tell the people, because when they see what they got coming. Hello? Whew. Church, when's the last time some of you sat down, took that Bible, and took an inventory of what you could be possessing? Look at your side of the ledger and ask yourself, what am I possessing? And then try to figure out, What's keeping me from getting what I ought to be having in God? Come on, church. Whew. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him. The eyes of our understanding be enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in Christ Jesus. What is Paul trying to tell the church at Ephesus? You need a revelation from God. You need to get a hold of the word. Let God begin to reveal to you what you can possess, and then let that hope be real in you and the calling of God be real in you. Could you say amen? Praise God. Amen. You can believe the Bible's true. You ever notice we spend a lot of time praying for stuff we ought to already have? Huh? I mean, I got so mad one time. I was the only kid left home. Those of you that ain't figured it out, I'm the bottom of the group. I've always heard how, well, that last one's got it made. It ain't when all the rest of them's married, mom and dad's trying to support them. They kept forgetting they had one still in school and one that was still needing clothes. And I remember the first time I got a new pair of tennis shoes to wear to school. I was 16 and bought them myself. I worked at a shoe store. The only reason I could afford them, I got them cheap. Hello? And I used to sit down and get so mad because my daddy would take stuff and give it to my brother or my sister. And I walked in the kitchen one day and said, hey! What about me? He said, all you had to do was ask. You live here. You remember the prodigal son? The one that left the house and took all of his inheritance and blew it and came home. And daddy was so excited when he came home. He said, let's have a party. Kill the fatted calf. And his brother had been there working the whole time with nothing turned. Said, hey, Dad, wait a minute. This is part mine. He said, always has been, always will be. But your brother left and he's come home. And you've always had this. All you had to do was ask. You could add the fatted calf anytime you wanted it. Can I tell you, some of you need to realize you're like that boy at home. You're sitting around waiting on somebody to give you something when it's already there. You're praying for things God's already promised you could have. Come on, church. Amen. And what we need to do is start possessing what God said we could have instead of sitting back asking for something that's on the shelf waiting on us to take hold of. Glory. Had a guy come up to me one night. I'll leave rest of these scriptures. I'm going to quit. Some of y'all done stopped anyway. When I see them start looking down at their phone and they're punching in keys, I know they're not reading the Bible anymore. That's a hint to somebody's fixing to get embarrassed, because I'm going to come ask you who you sent a text to and what you had to say. Oh, it's not none of the teenagers. It's an adult back there going, what do you want to eat? I wish you'd quit. I'm going to bring my phone in here one day and send everybody a text message. I'm going to preach an extra hour if you keep it up. Glory. Come on, church. We as a corporate body need to possess what God's already given us. We need to get a hold of the Word of God and realize we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. You know, when I used to go home, after Frieda and I got married, Frieda used to get upset with me. She went to her mom and daddy's house. Every time she saw something she wanted, she'd go ask them, could she have it? I never did that. At her mom and daddy's house, I would, but when I went to my mom and daddy's house, I figured if it wasn't marked, it's open season. I'd go in the house. We would eat supper. I'd go to my mom and dad's house for something. I'd open my door, look at the refrigerator, see if there's something I wanted to eat. My wife said, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm sorry. But my dad's always operated on the premise that what belonged to him belonged to all us. And if it wasn't marked, don't eat, we ate it. I never went in their house and asked, could I have some? I'd walk in, if there was fruit on the table, I'd just grab apple. Because I lived under the premise that what belonged to my father belonged to me. I've told this story here, but I remember one time my brothers had gone hunting. We came home and there was hot dogs in the oven. There were 48 of them. There's four of us, so we thought she knew we was coming. So we just got on the back porch and opened a jar of homemade kraut and got us a big quart glass of tea, and we were sitting out there eating them hot dogs. My dad come up, and there was one laying there, and he put some kraut on it, and mustard, ketchup, and he got him a big bite, and he said, you boys in trouble. I said, what's up? He said, your mama's got the ladies from a church coming over, and she's fixing them hot dogs for them to have to eat, and she's going to be real mad she finds out they're gone because the last one was in his hand. I said, well, you're eating one. He said, I'm headed to the car to go to work, and I won't be back. I'm pulling a double. It'll be tomorrow. She'll be cooled off time I show up. Glory. Then it hit me, the horror of the whole thing, because my three brothers left with him going home. I lived there. I go home, I'm sitting there in the end of the line waiting to get eaten. I run out there and got in the truck and took off down to the grocery store, and thank God, we had a little jot them down store. I asked somebody the other day, they know what that meant. That meant that if you told them you wanted something, they'd jot it down. Next time I was in town, they'd buy it from another store and put it on the shelf. Glory. You also could carry a ticket. And I went in and they had some ham. Cheese. I got two or three loaves of bread, and I went home and I made ham cheese sandwiches and put them back on that tray and slammed them in that oven. It was just on warm. It wasn't something that's going to cook. And I'll never forget, I was sitting in there in the back room, and I could see all the way down to where that oven was, and them ladies was in there sitting around the table. And Mama called and said, yeah, we got hot ham and cheese sandwiches. And she looked at it all at me. I kept walking down the hall. I said, it's a miracle. Glory. Amen. Church, I didn't get in trouble for eating hot dogs because they technically belonged to the family. As long as there was something there to keep her out of trouble, everything was all right. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? I think it's time some of us realize the Word of God has promised us certain things. I think it's time some of us stood up and said, enough's enough. I beat my head against the wall long enough. I've done without long enough. I've talked about what God was going to do long enough. I'm ready to possess the things God's Word says I can have. And church, I'm telling you, Satan don't want this. Hello? And y'all need to understand the attack that's been going on around us is not going to stop until we make up our mind we're taking control of the battle. Somebody said, what are you getting at, preacher? I was talking to the evangelist the other day, and I was going down the road, and I made a statement to him, and he actually thought I was serious. I said, I think about going back to evangelistic work. And he said, really? I said, well, yeah, I come here. I've broke my arm. I've had to have stents put in my heart. I've had cancer. Now I blew my knee out. And I said, Lord, I didn't have as much trouble when I was evangelizing. Amen. But you know the truth of the matter was? I wasn't trying to go up a hill Satan didn't want me to get over the top of like I am now. And I remember people telling me when I come here, this church gets to a certain place. It always makes it there and it goes backwards. We're at that place. And it's time for us to make up our mind. We ain't going back down the hill this time. We're coming over the top. And Satan better understand we're possessing what God has for us. We're taking the city of Alabaster for the glory of Almighty God. And we're not backing up anymore by the authority of God. We're moving in His presence, in His power, and in His glory. Stand with me all over the house. Father in heaven, we thank You now for Your presence, for Your power, for Your glory. God, move in this house with Your grace.